Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. We are located in Evansville, Indiana. Today is Monday, April 18th, 2022. This is edition number 154 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We have been spending a considerable amount of time working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Today we turn to the subject of prayer as we work through the final questions and answers of Shorter Catechism, beginning with Shorter Catechism question number 98. But let's pray together first, and then we'll look at this question and answer together this morning. Father, as we come now to your word, we come with humble reliance upon your Spirit that he would instruct us and teach us according to your good purpose and pleasure. We pray, Father, that your word would illumine our minds and our hearts to the truths of this subject of prayer, and that we would be a people of prayer, and that we would set our needs before you each day, that we would often and frequently come before the throne of grace, that we might find help in our time of need. We pray that you'd help us even now, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we now come to question number 98 of the Shorter Catechism. The question begins the subject of prayer by asking, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Now, it is good. It flows naturally now as we consider this question and answer and the subject of prayer from question 98 through the end of the catechism. If we back up to question number 88, what are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption? We see there that those outward and ordinary means are the word, sacraments, and prayer. And the catechism has followed that outline ever since. And so we've spent some time discussing the subject of prayer and preaching. We have spent a considerable amount of time discussing the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and now we come to the subject of prayer. The first thing we note, of course, is that prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. Now, when we look at Psalm 10, verse 17, there we read, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted, you will strengthen their heart, you will incline your ear. And then in Psalm 62, in verse 8, we read there, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so prayer is certainly a time in which we set our needs, set our desires, set those things that trouble us, burden us, weigh us down, whatever they may be, before the God of heaven. And we have been granted that great privilege, of course, to come before the God of heaven through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we note that really from Hebrews chapter 4. I was just talking with one of my members last night about this passage. There we read, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So prayer, that item, that means of grace that every Christian should be engaged in doing, is an offering up of our desires. Now, these desires are, as the Catechism states it, qualified. These desires that are things for things agreeable to his will. And so in 1 John 5:14, there we read, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, we know in the Lord's Prayer, of course, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray that frequently and often. In other words, we pray those desires, but these desires that are agreeable to the very will of God. And of course, we find that will given to us, displayed to us, revealed to us, through the lens of the Holy Scriptures, through the Word of God itself. And so we must know the Word of God if we're going to pray rightly. And then we come, of course, in the name of Christ. I've read from Hebrews chapter 4, but if we look at John chapter 16, there We're given more instruction on this subject, John 16, verses 23 and 24. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, well-meaning people have perverted this passage and other passages such as this, to think that this is a carte blanche item in which every time a Christian asks God for something, asks the Father for something, he gives it because we use some formula. Well, that's not at all what these verses are teaching, and nor is the Catechism even trying to explain. Remember, we set our desires before the Lord in the name of, for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ. That is, we pray to the Father through the Son by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so as Christians, we should want what God wants. We should want his will to be done. And those are the things that we pray for, and we do so in the name of Christ, the one who has secured our access now that we might enter boldly into the very throne room of grace. We do so with confession of our sins. Each and every time we come before the God of heaven, we should be mindful of the fact that we are sinful people. And without Christ, we have no hope in the world whatsoever. We have no chance of being heard without Christ. And so we look to him, we lean upon him as we pray, we count upon his righteousness imputed to us, and we confess our sins to the God of heaven. David in Psalm 22, to you they cried and were rescued, in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. And then, of course, 1 John 1, 9, a verse I probably didn't need to turn to, but we all know this very well. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we come mindful of the fact that we are fallen creatures, that we sin daily in thought, word, and deed, and as we set our desires before the God of heaven for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, we do so with confession of our sin, recognizing that we are indeed sinners. And then finally, we do so, prayer is that which is thankful. We thankfully acknowledge God for his mercies. And one of the things I think is lacking in Christian prayer, and it needs to be renewed with vigor in our prayer lives, is that we need to be more thankful for the things that God gives to us. I mean, everything that we have in our lives today is because of the good pleasure of a kind and gracious God. The air that we breathe, the homes that we live in, the food that we consume each day, the means of grace, the technology that we're using right now to do this devotional. It's just everything that we have. We are not treated as our sins deserve. God is gracious to us, and we need to be more thankful in our prayers. Ask less, thankful more. I don't know, but balance it at least, and find the balance between being a thankful person in prayer as well as one who sets your desires before God. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It's a psalm of David. We read there, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's, just in these five verses, plenty to keep us busy, to be thankful to the God of heaven as we pray. And so just in summary, I realize this is very basic. I suspect most Christians understand these things, but prayer is offering our desires to God for things that we know are agreeable to his will. We know that because we read of them in the scriptures. We find that out in the Word of God. We pray in the name of Christ. That is to say, we pray to the Father, through the Son, by the help of the Holy Spirit, confessing our sins and being thankful for all that God has done for us. Now, there's a little acronym that I have used in teaching on prayer with God's people here at Providence, and you've maybe have heard of this before, but just follow the ACTS system. First, when we pray with words of adoration and praise to God, and then confession of our sin, that's the C. And then we turn to thanksgiving. We thank God for forgiving us. We thank him for the ways he's blessed us and helped us. And then we turn to him in supplication, the S, to set our needs, our petitions before Him. But of course, all of this presupposes that we are people of prayer. And so let me encourage you today to carve out a time to spend in earnest prayer before the God of heaven. We read in the scriptures of people who prayed three times a day, David, Daniel, who saw the vital need for prayer. Matthew Henry says that you might as well find a human that doesn't breathe as a Christian who doesn't pray. It's vitally important that we as God's people seize this means of grace and pray before the God of heaven. He who has invited us to do so, to cast our cares, our burdens upon Him because He cares for us. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to contact me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Tuesday edition, when we consider the rule that God has given to us for our direction in prayer, may the Lord bless you and help you today, and may you serve Him. God bless.